State of opportunity.
State of opportunity.
I want to be a firefighter.
A ballerina.
I want to be a Batman.
From Michigan Radio, this is State of Opportunity. I'm Jennifer Guerra. So I've been thinking a lot about baby names lately. What they mean, what they project, what kinds of assumptions people make when they hear a name. So for this week's State of Opportunity project, I wanted to know, what role do names play in a child's future? I've been visiting schools the last couple of months, working on stories, and as the weeks ticked by, it became pretty obvious to the kids that I was expecting a baby girl, actually. Hardly a day would go by when one of them wouldn't ask me,
what's your daughter going to be named?
We don't have a name yet. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, maybe Elizabeth or Jasmine.
And from there, the names just kept on coming.
I got two names. Heaven and Diamond. That's a good name.
Alyssa.
Was that
yours?
Yes.
Sophie and Sophia.
Rose.
Melanie.
I would think Lucy.
Or Susan.
You should name it Princess.
Heaven is a real nice name.
I like Nevaeh, because that's heaven spelled backwards.
To find out what's in a name, I called up David Figlio. He directs the Institute for Policy Research at Northwestern University. The majority of his research tries to answer these two questions.
Why do we see such persistent, disparate outcomes for children across different walks of life? And how are differences in advantage or disadvantage perpetuated from generation to generation?
One answer, he argues, has to do with names. For his study, Figlio looked at 2 million Florida birth certificates over a decade. He ran the names through a fancy algorithm and eventually was able to predict whether the child was born to a mom who was poorly educated or not based on the child's name. And here's why that matters.
Imagine two kids. One kid with a name that sounds like it was given by a college graduate mom, and another with a name that sounds like it was given by a high school dropout mom. The teachers are more likely, all else equal, to recommend the first kid with a name that sounds like it was given by a college graduate mom as gifted. And the teacher was more likely, all else equal, to recommend the kid with the high school dropout mom as learning disabled.
In other words, teachers subconsciously treat kids differently depending on their name. Turns out juvenile court judges do, too. Figlio found that judges are likely to deal more harshly with a kid if they have a name that signifies low-income status. And the name studies don't end there. There are studies about what happens when you send out identical resumes with black names at the top versus white names at the top, studies about how boys with girls' names tend to act out more, and how women with traditionally feminine names are more likely to go into the humanities than the hard sciences. Adam Alter is an NYU professor and author of the book Drunk Tank Pink. In his book, he talks about a name study he did, which looked at how easily pronounceable names are, or what he calls fluent names.
We found that people with fluent names were better liked, that politicians with fluent names, even with the same basic policy platforms in a number of experiments, were preferred to politicians with complex names.
Both Alter and David Figlio agree that your parents' socioeconomic background is more important than any name you're given in terms of future success in life. But for children in poverty, the odds are already stacked against them.
So, unfortunately, I would have to suggest that all else being equal, if you pick a name that is, associated with higher socioeconomic status, people will make assumptions that are probably more favorable as far as your child is concerned.
No, names are not destiny, which for the record is a lovely girl's name. But Alter says there's enough evidence to suggest that names do have some effects on how people form impressions about you. So what are we naming our baby? Well, that's one name I won't be revealing for at least another month and a half. With State of Opportunity, I'm Jennifer Guerra, Michigan Radio News.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.